It's time to go back to Battlefield.
Hey, welcome to the second episode of the Back to Battlefield podcast. First of all, I want to thank everyone for listening to the podcast. I wanted to talk about real quick of the different ways you could access the podcast and download it. The first main place you could keep up on everything related to All Random Gaming, the podcast, and anything else I do is on the All Random blog, which the address for that is alec693.blogspot.com. And you guys could catch everything there and keep updated on the podcast as well. We'll have download links on there.
The second big news about the podcast is that it's now available on iTunes for download. For whatever reason, it's taken a little longer to finalize on the Zune Marketplace, so we'll keep you updated on when that's available. But if you do use iTunes for your iPod, iPhone, and everything else, you could search for Back to Battlefield on the iTunes Marketplace under Podcasts, and you could download and subscribe right there for the latest episodes. Okay, so with all that said, we have with me here today our main co-host, which is Infidel.
Hey guys.
All right, so we had a little bit of technical difficulties with the podcast, and that's why we're releasing it today on Saturday. But the good news is at least we were able to push it out within the same week. So, you know, we're kind of consistent with our weekly podcast schedule, I guess. But yeah, we had issues with the sound quality and all that, so we weren't able to release the podcast on Thursday. So anyway, first thing we're going to talk about in this podcast is the Armored Kill DLC Q&A. Posted up by GameSpot. This was a Q&A interview that they had with DICE's game designer, Nicholas Figueroa, and he talked about the Armored Kill DLC that's coming up, and that's pretty much all he mentioned. He mentioned a couple of things about the tank destroyers, mobile artillery, which are things we already know about. The ATV quad bikes, he actually confirmed that they're pretty much going to be the same quad bikes from Battlefield Bad Company 2, which was great to read. Something that was new to me was also that he mentioned in the interview that the biggest map that's going to be in the DLC, and also the same big map that's going to be, you know, the biggest one in Battlefield history, is actually called Bandar Desert.
So it was the desert. It's not that snow thing I thought I saw.
Right. I mean, the confusing thing to me right now is that there's, you know, images with the AC-130 and all that, which I'm assuming is the only map that has the AC-130 on it. And the desert looks like it's covered in snow. I don't know if that's like the outer area or what the story is behind the, you know, the actual map details and all that. But
it's just some weird color shading for the sand.
Right. I mean, I don't know what's going on as far as seeing the map from up high and then seeing it down low, if it's going to look completely different or something. But that was news to me, seeing the name of the map. So at least we know that. Another big thing that was in the interview before we go into the details about the AC-130 and a couple of other things is that the DLC will actually include more than one map. This is something that me and Infidel talked about in the last podcast. You know, I mentioned that hopefully the Bandar Desert isn't the only map that they were going to include in this DLC, but it's pretty much been confirmed that there are going to be four maps in the DLC of Armored Kill.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I thought that was, like, something important because, like I said in the last podcast, I was worried that they're just going to be like, oh, guys, here are all the tanks and everything, and then you have one big map, and that's it. Now, in the interview, they went into details about the AC-130 as well, which is something that everyone is going crazy over. They can't wait to fly it and all that stuff. I just want to reassure you guys or reconfirm that you can't fly the AC-130 to start with.
Most people should already know.
Right. In the interview, they also confirmed that the AC-130 will have the typical heavy autocannons, high-caliber shells, and anti-aircraft machine guns that you usually see in other games or even in real life when you see, you know, some footage about that massive airplane. The other thing is, which is a disappointment, we talked about this in the last podcast as well, is how you would spawn on the AC-130. According to the interview, you know, this is also, you know, typed up by GameSpot, but I would assume they took it right out of Nicholas's words, is that it will be a parachute spawn, which means you're going to spawn in a parachute just like a spawn beacon would spawn you.
Which is really a disappointment. Because yeah, I mean, would that really love to just sit in the AC-130 waiting to jump.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was picturing in the last podcast, and I was hoping that they would do something like that, because that's how it was in Desert Combat on Battlefield 1942, which was a mod, which I'm assuming is where they're basing this all out of. And you were able to actually be in the AC-130, you would jump out of the back. Sometimes you could even stake Jeeps in there, depending on which version of the mod you were playing. But, I mean, that's a disappointment. I guess it's something, you know, with the game engine or whatever it may be, and they had a reason for doing the parachute spawn instead of spawning in the actual airplane and jumping out of the back, which I thought would be more of a difference instead of just spawning in a parachute, like if there was a spawn beacon anyway. Yeah. Now, in the interview, GameSpot asked Nicholas to elaborate a little on the tank superiority mode, which is a new game mode that's going to be in the Armored Kill DLC. This is a game mode that's very similar to the Air Superiority from Battlefield 1943, which is on the Xbox Live Arcade.
That I've been playing lately.
Right, obviously Infidel has told me that he would prefer to have Air Superiority, or he hopes they implement it, which is something that I hope for too. But as of right now, they're only adding Tank Superiority, which is pretty self-explanatory. Obviously, if you're playing that game mode, the idea would be that there's no air vehicles at all, and it's just going to be full-on armored combat. You're going to have extra vehicles on the maps, obviously focused on the armored vehicles, you know, tanks, heavy artillery, so on and so forth. And you're just going to go metal to metal, you know, tank shell to tank shell in that game mode.
Still sounds fun, but I would prefer the air superiority.
Right. When we talked about that off of the podcast about the air superiority and all that, I forgot it was in Battlefield 1943, but they definitely need to add that to Battlefield 3 at some point.
One thing that I feel like would be an issue in tank superiority is in 1943 for air superiority, there's no choice but to have all this, make it all even. Like, you have guns and you have bombs, but now that everything is customizable, I feel like it would be a disadvantage for the guys that don't have all the unlocks compared to a level 100 colonel that has every single unlock and uses crazy guided shells and thermal vision and all that. By the way, I'm pretending to be you, Alec.
Right. I mean, that's something, to be honest, that's something that exists in a lot of video games. Unfortunately, there's no way to balance that, I would say, unless they really add, you know, now that I think about it, if it had more of a matchmaking system, maybe it would be more balanced out for new people to the game. But you know, unfortunately, we still hop online and there's level one ranked players and we destroy them basically because we're already pretty high level. We have all the unlocks. I'm sure for them, they hate it. For us, it's easy to kill them, but you know, there's no way to really balance that.
Yeah, maybe by not allowing unlocks, maybe have a standard.
That's true. I mean, I know the next thing we're going to go into, well, the third topic is about the matches. They finally made that available on Battlefield 3, and that gives you a little bit of control as far as what unlocks are available when you set up matches, whether they're professional matches or whatever, competitive, whatever you want to call it. And you could actually control which unlocks are available during those matches that you set up.
Really?
Yeah, we'll go into that. That's actually our third topic. Just to close off the GameSpot interview, they mentioned a little about the motorbikes in the Endgame DLC, which is one of the future DLCs after Armored Kill. It's actually going to be the fifth DLC, including Back to Karkan and all that. And, you know, Nicholas obviously mentioned that they are going to have motorbikes, meaning two wheels. It's going to be a motorcycle. GameSpot asked him if he'll be able to do stunts on it, and he kind of hinted jokingly that he's never seen a tank dual wheelie jumping off a bridge before, but obviously he's indicating that you'll be able to do that with the motorbikes when they add that in the Endgame DLC.
Yeah,
I didn't really get that joke at first, but I had to read it a couple of times to understand what he meant by it. So the next thing we're going to go into is probably the biggest topic in this podcast for us, is they released the Soldier upgrade this past week, and wow, that was a huge disappointment.
Yeah, crazy assignments that are harder than unlocking a gun for just a camouflage for the same gun that already has camouflage.
Yeah, I mean, I had told everyone on my live stream that I was going to save it for this podcast because I just have a lot of things to say about this. I looked at the Soldier upgrades as soon as they came out, and I did not expect DICE to do this because I expected them to release camos, you know, in a way that would make sense, which means for all the other guns now. But for whatever reason, they decided to go through with this Soldier upgrade and add camos to the same four weapons that they had already added camos to when Battlefield Premium became available. I don't know why they did that. I think it was a huge mistake. I don't understand. Maybe they're going to add a lot more camos in the future soldier upgrades instead of just four. They'll add maybe eight, and it'll finally be for different weapons. But right now, the same four camos that they added are for the F2000, the Pecheneg, L96, and the SCAR-H. Now, as Infidel touched on, these assignments are ridiculous to complete. As far as myself doing it, I always go after the assignments as soon as they become available, and they are pretty challenging in some scenarios, especially for some people that may be new to the game or aren't very skilled in what they ask of you in each of the assignments just to unlock these camos, which are just camos, to reiterate. I mean, it's nothing special that you're adding to the gun, but they require pretty much 100 kills with each weapon that you're going to get the camo for. You got to get Claymore kills.
Here's how crazy this is. To unlock the camo for the L96, you need to get a 350-meter headshot or more, and that is pretty far away. So what I ended up doing is me and my friend went into Gulf of Oman. I sat on the aircraft carrier. He sat on the beach. We spent the day trying to snipe each other.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, that's going to cause a given. Either people are going to be on opposite teams and, you know, not want to switch to each other because they're going to realize, oh, man, we could get this assignment done right now because there's no other way to do this. And that's a bad thing for DICE and for the game because they're really encouraging people not to try. I mean, why do you need to get a 350-meter headshot to unlock a camouflage for a weapon? That's something that should be kept for an exclusive unlock or whatever you want to call it. Yeah. Some other things they make you do. I mean, luckily I was able to complete this part of the assignment for the SCAR-H, which is get 5 air vehicle kills with an anti-tank launcher. Now that means you have to get a kill with an RPG, a SMAW, or a Javelin on an air vehicle. So that's super challenging for anyone that's playing the game, whether they're new or experienced, because it's difficult to hit an air vehicle with an anti-tank launcher. I mean, you can't lock onto it. With a Javelin, you could lock on if you have a soul flam, but most of the time you have one team member using a soul flam on your team and he's pointing at a Jeep that's on the ground or something useless that's not going to help you get the assignment done.
Yeah, teamwork. Get your buddy with a soul flam to laze air vehicles.
Right, so I mean, those are our 2 cents on you know, the soldier upgrade this week. I thought it was a huge disappointment again. I don't know why DICE did that. As far as I know, they're not going to have enough soldier upgrades at this rate to add camos to all the other weapons in the game. Hopefully, they're planning to do that. Hopefully, they add 2 camos just like they've already done with these guns to every other weapon in the game. But we'll see what they do. I mean, maybe they surprise us. And like I said, in the next soldier upgrades, they'll add 8 assignments to unlock multiple camos for different guns instead of what they did with this one and when Battlefield Premium first became available.
In those assignments, there is also a soldier camo,
right,
which is the Navy camo, I think, and that's the first thing that came out for the F2000.
Right, yeah, the camo they added is the Navy Blue Digital camo, which was already available on the F2000, which came out with Battlefield Premium for U.S. soldiers. And then for Russia, you'll be able to unlock the Woodland Stripe pattern. Now, this is an assignment that includes these two camos. I didn't really talk about it because I think this assignment is reasonable. You know, you're unlocking camos, one for each team, and it's together. And basically, you need to get 500 kills with the assault, 400 with support, 500 with engineer, and another 300 with recon, and you'll unlock those two team camos.
While we're talking about camos, I have to talk about something here. I hate that with the desert camo for the U.S. side, when you're Russian, you have a woodland camo.
Right. That's actually another thing I commented on when I first signed up to Battlefield Premium, you know, whoever I was partied up with on the Xbox or whatever, I was commenting about that. I was like, man, the Russian camos are, like, really different and unique. You know, you have that green one with the black, and then you have the woodland one. But on U.S., they pretty much added 2 camos. You know, the Airman looks like any regular camo, and then the other one is just another desert camo. Like, they're really not unique at all.
Yeah, I like them, but I hate that. Okay, ATAX, the one of the American camos that came out as soon as Premium came out, I like it. It helps you really blend in. I like camos that work on Battlefield. But when you're on the other team, the environment doesn't work.
Oh, you're referring to the actual Russian team having the Woodland camo, and there isn't really a Woodland map. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm referring to the fact that if you have a tax on when you're American, you automatically have that that brown stuff for the Russians.
Oh, okay, I understand. Yeah, that's something. I guess I haven't realized that myself, but you, I guess it doesn't save the camel depending on what team you're on or whatever.
If you go into your creative class, you can.
Yeah, you can select them. Yeah.
Yeah, and you can hit X to switch teams, and you can see for yourself.
Right. The next thing we're going to go into, which we touched upon, is the matches are now available on Battlefield 3 as well. Now, as far as the matches go, this is something that's available through the Battle Log, and you use this to set up competitive matches in Battlefield 3. I'm not sure, I haven't checked it out actually, if you could do it through the console. I think the console option in the main menu for matches is just to see, you know, the upcoming matches that you have and that you're involved in and all that. I'm not sure if you could set them up on the actual console. But as far as Battlelog goes, it's implemented in Battlelog right now. It's available. If you play on the PC, PlayStation 3, or Xbox, you could set up matches. You obviously need to have an actively rented dedicated server under your name. I'm pretty sure is how it works. And you set up the match on your server. You set up the start time, game mode, team size, map rotations, and as I mentioned earlier, you could also set up what unlocks are allowed during the match for weapons only.
You do not currently have a server of your own. Do you think you're going to be getting one soon? For all the viewers and listeners and all that?
I do plan on it. Actually, I'm glad you mentioned that. I've been telling everyone on my live stream that I was thinking about getting a server. I have to see. I do have the available Microsoft points for it, but my Microsoft points income, I think, is not enough right now to support the server after the 3 months. But I have to check that out and do a little math. But I do plan on releasing a server. Unfortunately, our main server that we were always playing on was Train Boss's server, which is one of my viewers.
Island of Wake.
Right, Island of Wake with Gulf of Man. I mean, hopefully a lot of you guys actually played on that server and checked it out. It was really popular. I mean, surprisingly, you know, once I changed the name on the server to that name, we would hop on 3 o'clock in the morning or in the middle of the day, and that server was packed. But unfortunately, the server expired on Friday, July 13th, which was yesterday, right?
No, it was still on yesterday, actually.
Oh, okay. Maybe it has a little bit of delay. That's good. I mean, maybe we'll hop on it after the podcast.
It did expire today, though. I just checked.
Oh, okay, so it is expired. So, womp womp, that's the bad part about the server expiring, and, you know, that's what made me think about really investing in a server.
If you get a donate button.
Yeah, donate button. Well, I have those. I mean, they're available, but, you know, that's up to people. I know I've had some people wanting to donate, and they live in other countries, so it was a little difficult for them to provide some type of donation.
Maybe a subscriber button?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that Twitch TV has to add. I guess it's an exclusive thing, because I've read something about it, and apparently they were testing it out initially, and I guess they still are, so it's like a first-come, first-serve thing. But I just wanted to comment on the matches feature that they added. Before we move on, you know, I obviously explained basically what it does and the purpose of it. It works great. I just want to say that, because DICE did a great job implementing this, especially for competitive teams and all that. Myself, I'm in a platoon that runs competitive matches, and they've already tested it out. As soon as it became available, they tried it out the next day, and it ran perfectly. You know, there's actually a system that they implemented along with the matches. When you're actually playing on Battlefield 3 and you join the server of the match, you actually have to go into the pause menu and ready up before the match starts. That's just to make sure everyone is there, everyone's ready to go on both teams. The other thing is you have to pick a team leader whenever you set up the match on Battlelog for both teams, and then that person is in charge of providing the gamer tags through Battlelog of each person on each team that's going to participate in the match. So it's really organized. They did a great job with it. As far as I know from my platoon buddies, you know, there's no issues with it yet. It works great. So if you guys are looking to be competitive or just for fun, the matches feature is included with your dedicated server, and you could try that out. Moving on, we have another release this week that's part of Battlefield Premium, which is the Close Quarters Weapons Guide. Now, this is the second video they've released for Battlefield Premium members, which I took a look at the video, and it's really great for providing an idea of what the purpose of each weapon is, They talk about the calibers of each weapon. They went into detail literally about why they implemented each weapon, what they were looking for, what each weapon is intended to do within Battlefield 3. And it's a great video. If you guys have Battlefield Premium, you definitely need to check that out.
If you don't have Battlefield Premium, buy it.
Right, if you don't have Battlefield Premium, you could buy it also, and you could watch this awesome video. It really helps. I mean, to be honest, I even watched it myself, and you know, I was thinking, wow, I definitely need to try and use that gun for close quarters, because I was not using it for that. I was using it for something else. Like, the MTAR is actually a close quarters weapon, according to the video that they released, which I was not using it for that at all. Yeah, I wasn't using it for that.
Why?
I mean, the MTAR to me looked like a more of a rifle, but then I noticed in the video, you know, they give you a shot of the soldier actually shooting it off in the distance, and it's a lot shorter than it looks. So I was like, oh man, I gotta use that in close quarters, I guess. That's why I'm not getting a lot of kills with it.
I figured that out the first time I tried using it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I only got like 3 kills with it, and I'm pretty sure either way it was in like Zeba Tower or something like that. And also in Gunmaster, I've gotten a taste of those guns, and they work pretty well. I like all the new guns they added with the Close Quarters DLC.
I've got at least one service star with every gun from that DLC.
Yeah. I already have at least a few unlocks with each gun because of Gunmaster. I usually play that as soon as I hop on. That's like my warm-up in Battlefield. But the next thing I wanted to talk about, they released this about 2 days ago on the Battlefield Instagram account. They posted a nice image of the AC-130. The AC-130 is in the image, so I guess this is a developer screenshot that they took or whatever. And you see the AC-130 on top of the image with Bandar Desert, we assume, on the bottom. Again, if you look at this screenshot, this is going to be in the show notes. You guys could check it out. If this is Bandar Desert, this is what we were talking about. It looks like it's covered in snow. So we're not really sure if this is that same map or the AC-130 is in fact going to be available on other maps in the DLC.
Or,
at least.
And maybe this means there's going to be a snow map. Maybe this means we're blind and we can't tell that it's a desert.
Right. One thing I missed in the GameSpot interview, actually, is Nicholas Fergross talked about Bandar Desert, the scale of it. This is something I also talked about in the first podcast. I was hoping it would be something like El Alamein, which is from Battlefield 1942. And he actually literally said that the scale of Bandar Desert is going to be just like that map, which is a massive map. And it gave me a lot of excitement, you know, to be able to read that and see that it's going to be that large, which if you guys haven't played 1942, you're going to be in for something when you see the scale of this map. He also mentioned
how big exactly is it? Like, how many... for example, how many Caspian borders?
Well, I think I've read something about the equivalent of Caspian borders that fit in it, and I want to say it's about like 2 to 2.5. Now, again, the misconception with a statement like that is, you know, you would have to assume that usually they're talking about the PC version of stuff when they mention that, because, you know, the maps are just bigger on that anyway. But the other big thing that he mentioned is the map also has city areas. So you're not just going to be fighting in, you know, literally what the map says, that it's a huge desert. It's not just that. There's going to be cities on the shoreline of the map. So obviously there's going to be some water. We'll see if they put boats in the water and you could, you know, maneuver and flank around. And yeah, there's just going to be city maps. You know, that he mentioned there's a shoreline map that you go from driving across the desert in a tank and then you arrive at that city and you're going to have to go close quarters and huge firefights break out again.
Maybe having a skyscraper that you can interact with completely, and it's just a giant skyscraper. You can go in it and fight in it, just like close quarters within the giant map.
Right. I mean, if you've seen some of the trailers, you know, of Armored Kill, that's actually Bandar Desert, and you see there's a lot of actual buildings. There's cranes everywhere. You know, there's the construction look going on.
Oh, great. Cranes to hit in a helicopter. Fun.
Yeah, or for people to, you know, climb up on them and start sniping you from across the map.
That's not what I do. I normally just hit them.
Right, you just hit them with the airplane, I'm sure. But it was great to see that. I mean, to be honest, it's like, it's almost like Battlefield listened to the first episode of our podcast. Maybe they did.
throwing knives and tracers.
They literally mentioned like everything, you know, I was questioning about Armored Kill so far. In the past week, and that's great to see that, you know, Bandar Desert is in fact going to be huge. It's going to have different scales of what you're going to be fighting in, vehicles you're going to be using, if you're going to be in a vehicle, you know, inside a city, and everything like that. So the last thing we're going to talk about, due to the delay of the podcast this week, it kind of came as a benefit to us, because on the Battlelog website, they have the sections for all the different DLC that's coming up. And if you go into that section, that shows you, you know, the little box images of Back to Karkan, Close Quarters, Armored Kill, etc. If you click on the Armored Kill one, that it says Learn More, they actually added more information about the DLC, and they put it under a little header that says Key Features of the DLC. And I'm just going to read these real quick, and then we'll see what Infidel has to say about it, and I'll give my feedback on it as well. Here's what it says. It says, All-out vehicle warfare on 4 new maps. Includes the biggest map in Battlefield history. New vehicles including tanks, ATVs, and mobile artillery. Bring back 5 new vehicle unlocks to the base game. Earn 20-plus unlocks for the new vehicles in Armored Kill. New tank superiority game mode. And the last one is all maps playable with all 6 game modes.
Oh, that's... Okay. I'm liking this DLC more and more.
Right? I mean, so, what's your first reaction?
Probably the fact that they have new unlocks for the base game.
Right. I mean, it says bring back 5 new vehicle unlocks. So that obviously means, at least for the vehicles that are already available in the game, we would assume, due to the title of this DLC and the focus of it, that you're going to be unlocking 5 new unlocks for main battle tanks and APCs, most likely, that are already available in the base game.
Okay, I want to go back to the largest map in Battlefield history. That's Battlefield history, so it's got to be bigger than anything else. So
you're talking right. About so it's going to be bigger than Caspian Border. It's going to be bigger than El Alamein. Either way, from Battlefield 1942.
Yeah, you said it was about the same size. I was like,
I mean, yeah, that's something that I said, but I mean, I meant to say the way he explained it is it's going to be in the same scale, which means, you know, you could look up the map on Google or whatever, and you'll see that El Alamein was this huge, massive desert. At the same time, you had entire airfields as the bases. You had little mobile artillery bases scattered around on the desert. You had pipelines. You had a couple of small cities. I mean, it was a massive map, and it was perfectly laid out. And to see that he compared it to that map, and in fact, it's going to be bigger than that map, because this map in Armored Kill is going to be the biggest in history. It's just going to be, you know, massive. I could tell you that, because I played on El Alamein with the Desert Combat mod, and I thought that map was huge. I would play on 24/7 servers for it, because, you know, every outcome was different depending on who used what vehicles and where you were stationing. But I mean, to see that they're going to put this map in it, it's going to be insane, is the only way to describe it.
And next, all the game types are going to be playable.
Well,
I like that.
That's some... I mean, I wouldn't say that, because a lot of people are still trying to figure out what that means. The way I took it, what it says is all maps playable with all 6 game modes, is I think what they're trying to say there is, yes, they're adding 4 maps with the DLC, and they're going to have 6 new game modes with that DLC, similar to what they did with Close Quarters. But, I mean, again, a lot of people are trying to figure that out. Yeah.
6 new game modes? That's a little much.
Yeah,
I mean, they're saying that the current 6 game modes are going to be playable on So, like, you Conquest, Assault, and Conquest, most maps don't have both of those as a choice, except for, like, Gulf of Omen.
Right, that does make sense, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and I was just reading what they were saying on the internet, because as soon as people noticed that they added this to the Armored Kill DLC information page, people were automatically saying, oh, does this mean it's going to be like Close Quarters? Does this mean they're talking about the new maps or the regular maps? But I think what you said right now actually makes sense, which is that the 6 game modes that they add, I mean, that they already have in the game, sorry, are going to be playable in the new maps as well.
Yeah.
But again, you have to remember they're also adding the tank superiority, so we'll see if that's going to be... I mean, obviously, we assume it's going to be exclusive to Armored Kill, similar to Gunmaster for Close Quarters, something like that.
Yeah.
Now, earn 20-plus unlocks for new vehicles in Armored Kill. I didn't get very excited about reading that, because that just means, obviously, they're adding new vehicles, and they're going to have their own sets of unlocks. We'll see what the 5 new vehicle unlocks are. That's what I'm most excited for. I had never heard anything about them adding new vehicle unlocks besides, you know, obviously the new vehicles being in it and you unlock stuff for those. But it's cool to see that they're actually adding vehicle unlocks even to the base game, the vehicles that are already present in Battlefield 3.
Yeah, that's good, because after you get all the unlocks for the base vehicles, you get kind of bored with them because you're not getting anywhere with it.
Right, I mean, you know, once you have all the unlocks and anything in Battlefield 3, you already have your set unlocks that you want to use, and, you know, you might have two or three other setups depending on what you're facing against or what map you're playing on. And it's definitely, I'm sure the unlocks that they're adding that are going to work in the base game are definitely going to be most likely game changers. They're going to be new things for vehicles to defend against air vehicles, most likely things like that. Maybe they'll actually add an ECM jammer that works. You know, that would be nice.
Yeah, I'd go for that.
Yeah, maybe add an ECM jammer 2.0. So, you know, you could use the one that already exists in the game now as a distraction, and then people have to figure out if you actually used the real one or not that works.
Oh, yeah, that makes no sense.
Yeah, I mean, the ECM jammer is just broken. That's my point. And they need to fix it one way or another, because supposedly they fixed it in the last patch and it didn't do anything, really.
I want to see an extinguisher that you can use anytime.
How so? You mean if your vehicle's not on fire, you use it anyway and it repairs you?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that's interesting.
No, it's the send out R2-D2 button.
Send out R2-D2. That would also be interesting. I mean, if they have a vehicle unlocked that, you know, you press a button and you see a little robot pop out the back and it starts repairing the vehicle, that would be funny. But I'll tell you something that a lot of people actually don't know, especially if they didn't play Battlefield 2 on the PC, because I'm pretty sure that's the last game that worked in that way. But in Battlefield 2, if you were playing as an engineer, let's say you're driving a tank and you would pull up next to a friendly tank, let's say he already had like 80% health in that tank, you could actually repair that tank while you're sitting in your vehicle.
It would just automatically repair it? Or yes. You'd have to press a button?
No. You'd be sitting there, and, you know, your teammate would obviously see, oh, this guy's an engineer, because it shows a little wrench on top of his tank, and all you had to do was sit next to him, or you could even, you know, drive that way next to each other, and you would continuously repair each other.
I'd like to see, like, an ammo box, but for the engineer, that's, like, a repair box. You just throw it on top of your tank, and you drive away with it, and it automatically repairs you.
Oh, that would be definitely unique. I mean, maybe that's something they could implement in some way. I don't know about a box, but maybe they could throw something onto the tank or whatever. Box of bolts. Yeah, I mean, I think they, speaking of the, you know, engineer and repairing and all that, I think they messed up the blowtorch in a way in the last patch, because lately, I mean, I'm either blowtorching something and it's not repairing, or it stays on, it seems. You know, the little torch at the end, but I don't know if that means that it's actually, you know, using the repair refresh or whatever you want to call it.
I don't think it is. I think it's just like that. Because I've noticed that when I sit in the Venom and just repair.
Right. I mean, I wonder, now that I think about it also, if that little flame actually makes a difference. Like, if you're hiding in a corner with your repair torch out in a dark spot, if someone could actually see you just because it's turned on like that and stuck.
Well, what idiot would have his repair torch out unless he's, like, out of ammo?
Hey, don't... I mean, there's assignments that require repair torch kills, so you don't know that.
Okay.
Yeah. I got those real easily. I mean, I think you had to get, like, 2 repair tool kills on actual enemies. Yeah, that was interesting to get.
I think I'm the only one out of all of us in this community here that, like, of everybody we know, I think I'm the only one that's ever gotten a defibrillator kill.
Oh, man. That's a good thing to talk about, because I've tried and tried so many times to get a defibrillator kill, and it doesn't work for me. I've heard from some people say that you need to actually hit them with the defibrillators, like, in the neck, more or less. Is that true?
No, you just gotta be within range. You gotta be in the same range of reviving somebody. And as long as you hit them dead on, like, not missing at all, it'll kill them in one hit, no matter what.
Oh, okay. I mean, for whatever reason, I've never been able to pull it off yet in Battlefield 3. And, you know, I've probably died a good 20 times. Even on snipers that are just proned out, I sneak up on them, And I'm just sitting there defibrillating them, and they don't even die. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, this doesn't even work. And they just turn around and, you know, no-scope me or something even more humiliating as opposed to me defibrillating them.
Yeah. By the way, the defibrillator kill was on Chevy truck, man.
Oh, nice. So you gave him a little shout-out there. But, I mean, yeah, the defibrillator, you know, I don't know if they know that happens and that's their intention. I've also heard some people say that with the defibrillator, you could kill people, you know, if you're like in a hectic, I guess, close quarters fight or whatever, and you want to try and kill them with it. If you hit them a couple of times with it, you're actually damaging them. But I don't know if that's true also.
No idea. All I know is when you're out of ammo, I'd rather pull out the knife than the defibrillator.
Oh, yeah, that too. Yeah, I've had a couple of close calls shooting at people, and I'm just spinning around, like, trying to find them, and at the same time, I just decided, whatever, I'm going to pull out my knife, and I actually end up taking them down with the knife.
What about that awesome time when you counter-knifed that dude?
Yeah, that's in the next highlights. I'm actually going to post two highlights along with this podcast on my YouTube page. And, yeah, Infidel's talking about a case where I still don't know how it happened, and I'm never going to figure it out, but essentially there was an enemy knifing me. You know, the sequence started for the takedown, and I freaked out. I panicked, and I decided, for whatever reason, to press my knife button. All of a sudden, my character was at a 180, and he was staring at the enemy, and I was taking him down, and on top of that, I got a headshot with the knife for it. So that's something I've never seen anyone pull that off in Battlefield 3, and it's definitely going to be hopefully in one of my next highlights. I'll be putting it together and submitting two episodes along with this podcast. That's going to be on YouTube. The podcast is going to be somewhere else. I also wanted to mention I will be uploading all the podcast episodes on YouTube as well, with kind of like a visual set up with the images and the video clips that we're talking about during the podcast, so you guys could kind of see what we're talking about instead of having to go through the show notes and go to each website and all that to check everything out. And the YouTube page for that is actually going to be youtube.com/alec693, which is the same as, you know, the Blogspot page for All Random. Again, if you basically keep up with the All Random website, you'll be able to see everything that's posted all over YouTube, Twitter, on my live stream.
There's a link on that site to the YouTube channel, so.
Right, I have a fancy little video bar on the right side of the All Random website as well that shows you the most recent videos that have been uploaded. And, you know, you could just go from there. I have links to my Twitter page. You could RSS to the blog. You could RSS to the podcast. I have everything set up on the website, guys. So if you want to keep up with, you know, everything I'm doing, you know, our podcast. There's
a live stream.
Right, there's a live stream with the live stream integrated there on there as well. You know, for some of you that go on Twitch TV and, you know, if you have a computer, I guess, that can't load everything on the page while you're watching the live stream, you could go on the All Random website, and I integrated it onto there, and it's nice and sleek, and you just have the video player and the chat right there, and you could be involved in it just the same. Now, the other thing I want to mention is get used to me and Infidel talking in the podcast, because I'm obviously the main host because I'm uploading everything onto the websites and all that, but Infidel is going to be the main co-host as well. So from then on, anyone else that's going to be on the podcast, you know, we're going to feature some fellow players, some friends of ours, you know, things like that. A few of my viewers, they're just going to be additional members of the podcast. But me and Infidel are going to be always the main guys that you're going to be listening to during the podcast.
Yep.
So I'm sure Infidel feels honored to be a part of that.
Oh, yes. Yes, I am.
I mean, you really came up with the idea of the podcast, and so far it's great. I mean, we had the first episode, and, you know, we had 100 plus views.
The podcast, the name.
Yeah, the image as well, with the
skid loader. Yeah, the image. I'm a star. I'm inside a skid loader.
Yeah, that's your vehicle of choice in Battlefield 3.
Yep.
Yeah, if you guys see Infidel in a skid loader in Battlefield 3, you should run the other way, because, I mean, he has some turbo on that, and he'll hunt you down either way. Somehow.
I had my friend hook me up with some NOS.
Yeah, some NOS on that skid loader. It's a unique unlock for being Infidel on Battlefield 3. But, I mean, yeah, is there anything else you want to talk about in this episode before we wrap it up?
Not really.
Yeah, I mean, after the first episode, you know, I'm satisfied. We're kind of at the same time mark in this episode. It looks like you guys are actually going to be fine with, you know, the podcast being about an hour long. Again, thank you for all of you listening to the podcast already. We had a great turnout for the first episode. We had about 50 listens within the first couple of hours, and it's great so far. So, you know, if you guys keep listening, I also want to let you guys know that when I do giveaways, which they are coming up, maybe by next week, you know, our next podcast, episode 3, I'll be mentioning how you could get in on the giveaways. And yeah, just keep up. I mean, I don't just, you know, play with you guys and all that. I try to give back just in the same way that you're giving back to me by listening to my live stream or the podcast and everything. So if you stay involved, you'll be rewarded, I guess, or you have opportunities to win stuff.
That's okay. That
that's okay.
if you stay involved, you will be rewarded. That sounds like some kind of terrorist threat.
Terrorist threat. No, it's just a little incentive. I mean, I like giving back to people.
Yeah,
one big thing, I think I mentioned it in the first episode, the big thing that I do on my live stream is I actually play with people that are watching, because I know a lot of people don't do that live stream, and think
that's
it brings
how I found you.
Right, it brings a huge, like, network, I guess, to me, because, you know, people get online on Twitch TV and they see that I'm broadcasting, and then lately more and more I have not only more viewers, but people are coming in and asking to play, and I'm like, of course, if you guys want to feel famous, maybe even you pull something ridiculous off, and I'm watching you during my stream, and you'll be in one of the highlights. So I encourage you guys to play with me and keep up with everything that I'm doing, because it'll be fun, I promise.
More viewers, more lag.
More viewers, more lag.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think we're good to wrap this up. So thanks for listening, guys. We'll catch you all next week. Again, keep up with the All Random website for the latest on everything. It's alec693.blogspot.com. And we'll see you guys next week. Thank you, Infidel, for being the main co-host once again.
Yep. I'm here, always.
All right, guys. So we'll catch you all later.